Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see two sheds in Nova Scotia. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Are you ready? Stuart Knight is with us. Stuart is the president. Stuart Knight Productions. He's one of Canada's greatest motivational speakers. Stuart, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to this.
I am so excited to talk to you. I've watched the video on your site, StuartKnightProductions.com. That's Knight with a K, StuartKnightProductions.com. That opening video is amazing. It almost answers every question I want to ask, but of course our listeners haven't seen it. So Stuart, let's step back. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Stuart Knight Productions.
I'm a speaker, no doubt about that. I'm an author, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm an individual that really does believe in the power of the human mindset and what we can do when we dedicate ourselves to being the best that we can possibly be. So I've been doing that now for the last 20 years, and in that time, I've been very fortunate to have had the chance to speak to over 1 million people now, and there's no stopping anytime soon. I'm going to keep on going as long as people will keep on listening.
Well, it certainly appears as if you like to speak, because on your website, it says, build critical relationships, one powerful conversation at a time. And this is where I have some questions, because in today's world, everybody's connected. We're eerily connected. What does a business owner get out of listening to you, following a motivational speaker, when they can follow anyone, anywhere, at any time?
That's right. And you know what? Here's the one thing I would say to that. First of all, absolutely, go online, watch videos, do what you can to get that information out there in this vastly connected world, as you say, and always look for ways to be able to motivate yourself as much as you possibly can. As far as what I do, you know, can you go online? Can you go and get that stuff that I do? You can, but I'm a big believer that you can also watch a Justin Timberlake video online, and that never stops a person from wanting to go and see the live show. And many of us would agree that there's no thing like the actual live presentation. You get to really see the sweat. You really get to see the passion. You get to feel the energy from that person as they're up there really talking about the things that they're genuinely passionate about. There's obviously there are motivational speakers that are out there that I think they do it just for a paycheck, or they do it because they think it's a fun job. But when it comes down to guys like myself and gals that do it as well, I can tell you that if you really do believe in what you're doing, you're never going to get the same experience out there in that world of the internet as you will when you watch somebody live and they give it to you from the heart.
Maybe I should ask you for your definition. What does a motivational speaker do?
And it's funny, I'll tell you something. When people ask me what I do, I most often say I'm a professional speaker, because I think a lot of motivational speakers, their number one job is to go out there and to inspire people, to pump people up, to motivate them to want to go out there and take big risks and to do things that they've never done before. Whereas when I look at what I do, even though there's definitely a motivational component to it, I sometimes see myself now these days more as a perspective speaker as opposed to a motivational speaker. And the reason I use the word perspective speaker is because I'm a big believer that when I go up on stage and I share my messages with my audience, yes, without a doubt, they're motivated and they're inspired. However, more often they walk away with a brand new perspective and a brand new concept onto how they can approach their lives and a new perspective on really what life is all about and what human connections are all about. So for me, what I would say is when it comes to the definition of either a motivational speaker or a professional speaker, it's their job to have people come in and at the end of that hour or 90 minutes or 3 hours to walk away seeing life differently and better than they did before.
And you know, that ties nicely into your great book. I love this book. You Should Have Asked, The Art of Powerful Conversations. And that book guides readers towards having conversations that connect, empower, and enlighten. So I want to ask you, in what ways will entrepreneurs and business owners interact differently after reading your book?
Great question. And I'll tell you, when it comes right down to it, there's so many people out there as entrepreneurs. Now, I've been a full-time entrepreneur for 20 years, and I've had my ups and downs. I've had my knocks and my bruises. And when I see other entrepreneurs that are out there just starting out or they're struggling, the best way that they can actually get ahead is to just work harder or to maybe sink more money into the business or to just be more passionate about what they're doing, which, of course, those are all great elements to becoming a great entrepreneur. However, to me, there's nobody in business, whether it's a business owner or as an entrepreneur, who can expect to be successful without people. It's people who hire us and fire us, who promote us and demote us, who listen to our ideas, who choose to buy from us or they don't buy from us, or they choose to refer our business products or our services to people within their network, or they don't do that. And these people are doing all these things based on the way that we entrepreneurs make them feel. Okay, and I always say to people, when somebody has a conversation with you and they walk away, how do they actually feel when you're talking to people that you do business with? I mean, do they feel like they're an interesting person? Do they feel like they're intriguing or that they're exciting or that they're important or that they matter? Do they feel like they're somebody who could now trust you or who would want to be loyal to you? I mean, if you even made that person feel like they're funny, because everybody's funny, you want that person walking away saying, you know what? I'm kind of funny. I never even thought of myself that way after having a conversation with you. And if you make them feel all of these really positive things, what you've done is you've connected with them on a human level. And too many entrepreneurs think that it's just enough to connect with them on a business level, to really have a conversation where that individual walks away with all the pros and cons of the services that they provide, and yet the individual doesn't remember that the next entrepreneur over is providing the exact same service. They're providing the exact same product. So what is going to be your distinguishing factor? And your distinguishing factor is always going to come down to the relationship that you can create with that individual. And if that person likes you, they want to do more business with you compared to your competition if they don't like them as much. And that's what we always say. You know what? People always buy from people they like.
What I have found in years of being in public practice in a CA firm, and it goes across all my partners, people work with people they like. So you're absolutely right. People work with people they like.
I'd even go one step further that people also work with people not only that they like, but they also work with people that they respect, people that they admire, and people that they value. And you can't really get that person feeling those things just through your product or just through your service. You need to go above and beyond and create that human connection.
So let me ask you this. For one reason or another, you've been called mad for your non-traditional approach to life. Would you say that that's fair? Why do people call you mad?
You know, it's funny because I used to have this ongoing blog that I used to write called The Madness of My Mind, and it actually became so popular that it turned into a book. The reason I used to call it The Madness of My Mind is because I've always taken a very non-traditional approach to business and to the ideas that come into my mind as an entrepreneur. I mean, many, many years ago, I decided to write a motivational musical. You know, it had never been done before, and this motivational musical was meant to be, like I called it, the Saturday night social alternative. But of course, I could never get a theater that would give me a place every single Saturday night. So I had to get creative, and I ended up taking over a loft space, and I built a theater in essentially my living room. It was a huge loft, 2,600 square feet. People would come into this theater show, usually about 100 people at a time, every single Saturday, and they'd watch a musical, and they didn't even know that just behind that wall was my bedroom. So I guess I've always taken a bit of a mad approach to business. And the other reason people call me the guy who has the madness of his mind, when I'm on stage, my big thing is to make sure that I teach people things in ways that are so different than they've ever heard. I'll get up on stage and I'll ask the audience, you know, who here has ever seen a fly on a window trying to get outside? And of course, everyone puts their hand up. And I'll say, well, you know what? Isn't it a shame you come back the next day and you see a dead fly in the windowsill? I mean, all that fly had to do was turn around, go across the room and go right out the open window, but it kept trying to get out that window. And of course, everyone laughs at that. And then I say to them, isn't it sad to think that we human beings are just like flies? You know, we all bang our heads against the same windows, hoping that it's magically one day going to disappear. And the reality is all we have to do is turn around and be free. And so when I present my information and present my messages to people, I do it in a way that's a bit kind of off kilter, a bit mad, a bit crazy, a bit different, so that people can relate to it and genuinely understand.
And I would guess that that allows you to really connect with entrepreneurs, because most entrepreneurs do see themselves a little bit askew from the common grain.
No question. We entrepreneurs, sometimes, as we all know, we sit down, we have beers together, we go out and we have coffee together, and we commiserate with each other, simply because no one else really does understand what we're going through fully. I mean, they can kind of get it intellectually, but no one really understands what it's like to be in a situation where you've got to pay rent for the office space and your bank account is going down quickly and you don't have any major business booked for a couple of weeks and you got to hustle and figure out how you're going to make it through. And 20 years ago when I was first starting out as an entrepreneur, I went through those kinds of things. And today when entrepreneurs share their stories with me, I can look them in the eyes, give them a big hug, a big high five and say, My friend, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is there something, you mentioned today's entrepreneurs, is there something about the mindsets and the behaviors of today's entrepreneurs that you can share with us that's maybe common, but you would say, hey, everybody's doing it this way, but they should maybe do it that way? Is there a thought you have on that?
When it comes right down to it, as I travel across the country as a speaker, I'm very lucky. I do meet lots of entrepreneurs. And one thing that strikes me over and over again is that whenever I meet people who are successful in business, and in fact, you know what? You can even say the same thing. When I meet people who are successful in their relationships or have successful friendships or whatever it might be, they have a successfully looking body. All of these people, there's never really any big surprise. And that is the fact that the people who are most successful in many cases are the individuals that are willing to do what it takes to get there. And I meet entrepreneurs who they'll cry like, oh my God, you know what? I can't become an entrepreneur. I have to take a $10,000 loan out of the bank. And I think to myself, my God, my friend, I can tell you 15 years ago, I was $250,000 in personal debt on my credit cards and line of credit. You know, we got out of that and we pushed through and now we got a big company with many employees. And so you got to be willing to have the guts. And that, I would say, is the one thing is most consistent with all the entrepreneurs that I meet. Everyone who's successful is the one who had the guts to put in the time, the guts to take the risks, the guts to take the chances, and the guts to really believe in what it is that they want to put out there. If you don't have those things, if you don't have those elements, then stop listening to this show right now. Stop listening to anything that's going to try to make you become an entrepreneur because you've got no chance of getting out there. You really need to have those guts to really make it happen. And that's what I see time and time again with the most successful entrepreneurs that I meet.
Well, you know, and to that, one of the things our listeners hear me say all the time is two P's and an F, and that is passion, perseverance, and focus. And I think we add guts to that, it rounds it out completely. Now, I've got another question for you. Are there three things that you can share with us today, or entrepreneurs across the country, they really want to hear this. What are the three things that would make them more effective in their day-to-day tasks?
For entrepreneurs, stop letting technology control them. Stop being a slave to technology. Obviously, technology is a beautiful thing, and if you can use it to help streamline your business, I say go for it. But stop thinking you need to check your email 500 times a day. Stop thinking you got to check your text messages 500 times a day. Like, really be disciplined. Stop letting technology control you. Be the one who controls technology. So set up a time in the morning where you're going to check your email and then leave it. And then do the same thing in the afternoon. And then stop being a slave to it because what you're doing is you're wasting time. There's too many other tasks that need to be done. Okay? So that would be the... And I would say, you know, the third piece of advice that crosses my mind is to make sure that every single day you set yourself up for success. So many entrepreneurs, they wake up in the morning and they think they automatically just have to go right to their desk and start working their butt off. Before you do that, I always say, just take 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes and sit down and set up a game plan for yourself and say, what do I want to accomplish today? And if it's even if it's an action plan or if it's something where you can say, all right, this is exactly what I'm aiming for and this is how I'm going to get there, be very clear on that. Get yourself centered and present to what you want to accomplish that day, and you will increase your chances of being effectively able to get there. So those would be the first three that cross my mind.
Well, I love those tips, but I don't know. I think I have trouble not checking my email 500 times a day. That's a personal issue.
It's tough. I agree. I agree. It's hard, but you got to do it.
Is there one single most important motivational tip you would share with us today?
Yeah, just for me, when people ask me a question like that, my answer to that, Robert, is really just to remember that everything in life is just a concept. You know, the fact that we're supposed to work from 9 to 5, that's just an idea that somebody had one day somewhere around the Industrial Revolution time period, right? The idea that we're supposed to have a certain grades or make a certain amount of money or we're supposed to be married by a certain age, they're all just ideas, okay? And so many people who are trying to invent a new idea or so many people who are trying to start a new business, they get so confined by believing that certain things are or are not realistic based on the ideas and based on the concepts that they have access to. But they have to realize that every idea and every concept they have access to was just an idea at one time. And they should not be ideas that stop you from doing what you really want to do, because concepts are just concepts, and they could be changed tomorrow. So if there's ever a time where you think you can't do something, just realize you only think you can't do it because of something that someone at some time made up.
Now, I would like to think on this show we asked you some pretty good questions. You said we did. We've also referenced that you've been asked that type of question before. So I have to finish with this. What didn't I ask you that you would like to share with us?
Oh, what you did not ask me. Well, that's a great question. I guess, you know, for me, one of the things that I like to speak about as an entrepreneur when I talk about people who are in business is to never lose sight of what really is important in life. Okay, so being an entrepreneur and creating something and running your own business, there is no better job in the world than being your own boss. I'll be the first one to say that. In fact, I just said that to somebody today who was a stranger that I was talking to. However, I think it's important for us as entrepreneurs to make sure that we keep all the very other important things in check, to make sure that we aren't allowing that business to stop ourselves from falling in love or having good relationships with our family or good relationships with our children, if you have children, or stopping you from doing things where you get a chance to get on a plane and go see other places in the world or get your butt out of that office and spend a little time in nature. I mean, don't forget about the important things in life. Being an entrepreneur is one of them, but it's not the only one.
Well, I love that one. Get your butt out of the office. Stuart Knight, President, Stuart Knight Productions, stuartknightproductions.com. Stuart, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Robert.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. You heard it here once before. Fortune favors the prepared mind. Check us out at bennettgold.ca and be prepared. Do what Stuart says and be ready. And remember those finer details. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night. Two Sheds, Nova Scotia.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.